Happy Sabbath to every one of you. I'm very glad to be with you this morning in Bakersfield. And I don't have a driver this time. Somebody brought me down the last time I got up early in the morning. My wife, my family don't like me driving at night. And in the middle of the night, I woke up, did a little computation. The sun, of course, is moving every day. It used to shine on the front part of our house. Now it shines on the side. And we don't get that sunshine in the summer that gets the house all warm. We dropped the shades right away in the summertime, but now it's coming up much further to the east. Anyway, I computed and realized that the sun would come up at a given time, and that I had enough time to sleep another hour and get up and still make it here to Bakersfield. So I did that. And my daughter called me from Ukiah while I was driving, and I said to her, I'm driving down, who's your driver? And I said, well, I'm doing it. She said, oh, Dad. I said, look, the sun is bright. I don't need night help. I said, I'm going down and I'll get back before evening. So here I am. Amen. And I'm glad to be here. Amen. God is good. Amen. Isn't the weather wonderful? Yes. And we even had some sprinkles of rain. I hope you did here too. Yeah, I understand that the young literature evangelist came and distributed literature one summer, and they had a t-shirt or a sweatshirt that they manufactured afterwards, which they wore, that they'd endured the pain and the heat of Bakersfield. I don't think they used the word hell, but it was close to that. So anyway, Bakersfield is notorious for hot weather. This text in Matthew 26 has really been talking to me. This last week, you know, we carry everything around on our phones, and I turned to the spirit of prophecy, and I wanted to read something about end times. And there's a you know, menu there, and I turned to it, and there was one section that was described where the very end times, what's going to happen at the end, that was there. And so I turned this on and I began to read. And just briefly, I'll say that it brought to my mind the story of Job. And the story begins in the book of Job with God calling folk together, heavenly beings. And in the middle of this, Satan walks in. Now, that's an interesting concept in itself, because you begin to wonder, okay, where does Satan have access? Can he go anywhere he wants? Perhaps it's just from time to time. I don't think that he's active on the other worlds that have already decided for Jesus. But I began to read this, and it describes that situation. And God talks to him, and Satan responds and says, your servant Job is your favorite. You've given him everything. That's the reason that he serves you. God says, okay, I'll take my hand away. You spare his life. You can do what you want. And we know the story. Now, I'm going to jump from here to today. And I want to assure you that God does have limits on Satan. But we know from Scripture, from the book of Genesis, that God had banished Satan down here to this world. He calls this his kingdom. This is his territory. And he put the man and the woman here and shielded them in the Garden of Eden and said, you can go anywhere. This is yours. The fruit is yours. Everything is here. All this beauty. And you have company. And I will come and I will walk with you and talk with you. I will visit with you. Sabbath was already made holy at the end of that first week. He came, they fellowshipped. But don't go near the tree. Don't go near that tree. If you go there, if you eat, things are going to change completely and death will come to you and to the world. Sometimes my mind goes forward to Adam and Eve. Someone told me once that it's possible that Eve bore hundreds of children. They lived, you know, centuries after century after century. And Spirit of Prophecy tells us that during that time, Adam and Eve, they just beat themselves up at what they had done. Why did they disobey God? Why did they go over to the tree? Why did they listen? And the Bible describes, you know, Lucifer at that time is very beautiful and all the colors and all this stuff. Spirit of Prophecy says that Adam, during that time, looking at what happened in the world, remember, Tower of Babel, he lived during Noah's time, while Noah was building the ark. And he just had a terrible time thinking about that. We are born into sin. We start out as rascals. My mother told me that when I was just a few months old, crawling around on the floor there in Roorkee in India, that I would come up beside her as I was, you know, popping the teeth, and I'd hold her around the legs, and then I'd reach my mouth and I'd give her a nip on her ankle. And she got tired of this after a while. And I probably didn't understand anything, but she'd give a yell and so forth. And finally, I cured you. And I said, how did you do it, Mama? She said, well, I got down and gave you a nip. I did that a couple times, and then you learned that that was not good. You know, we're born like that. And all these humans were born into sin. The title of my sermon is How We Can Connect with God and Keep That Connection Vital. And just from practical experience, just from this text that we've read, I can just say that we are so imperfect. Here you have Jesus. He's going to the cross. They've come out of the Last Supper. He's told them he's going to die again and again. When they get up from the meal, that comes up again. And Jesus, he's in extremis. He understands what his Father and he had talked about. He understands that he had given his commitment to come here and save mankind. He understands that he's a human being. He had seen death. He'd seen crucifixion. He knew about the Romans. He knew about the Sanhedrin and the leaders of the Jews. He knew they hated him. And he goes there to the garden, and he begins to pray, and he takes the three with him. And he says, watch and pray. And it's the middle of the night, and he's agonizing It's always pictured as by that stone. Great drops of blood, and he keeps saying, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. If it's possible, if there's any other way, but if not, I will drink the cup. This is my sermon to you today, because I want to tell you that mentally, I want to tell you that as convicted Christians, we can say yes to God. But there's always a trace, there's always a root, there's always a virus of sin that remains inside of us. And we must, like Jesus, come to that spot where we're willing to bow down before him and say, Lord, if it's possible, take this away. But Lord, if that can't be done, I'll swallow. I'll drink that cup. I will sacrifice for you. Amen. By the way, I've had many of these experiences through my life, and it comes in common ways. I told you, you know, as I finished college, got my master's degree, that I wanted to be independent. I wanted to make money. I wanted to do something here on this earth. And here I was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. My father was a missionary, committed. He was a happy Christian. Every day I pray I can be like my dad. Amen. He died of colon cancer. They gave him 3 months. I was over in Singapore. My younger brother's a doctor. He was working at Loma Linda. Dad got sick and he couldn't keep anything down when he was driving from Minnesota down to Loma Linda, where my mom and he were going to be with my brother for a bit. And Dad couldn't keep anything down. He just couldn't. Finally, my mom took over the wheel someplace in the Midwest. She drove 18 hours to Loma Linda on her own. They got him in the hospital. They gave him 3 months. The forecast was true. He died in December. I'd flown home, spent 2 weeks with him. Probably you don't know this, but if you're in Singapore and you're flying to Korea, which I did in November for some church meetings, you can add a couple $100 and buy a ticket to the States, stopping in Korea and coming here and then going back again for about $300 more. It's just a longer route. You pay a bit extra, but you've given them that marginal money. So I did that. I came back before the meetings. He and I walked. It was October, November. It was cool like it is now. The fields were just getting green. We walked together. When I was a kid in boarding school, I hadn't really fessed up to my dad with all the things that happened. There were some reasons for that. One was that one day I was working in, I usually worked in the chicken coops when I was there in high school. And I kept rotten eggs as my ammunition to persecute other people. I never got caught for that. But anyway, I was down in the garden weeding, the school garden. And there was an old man working there, an Indian, a tribal man, tiny guy. and he would smoke marijuana in his hut every night. And you could smell this stuff. By the way, marijuana grows wild there. I mean, it's just acres and acres. And no one was tempted because you could see people that smoked marijuana and you said, I'm never going there because, you know, they were just half there. It's funny, along the railway tracks in India, there's 30, 40 feet either side and it's nothing but weed. And the schoolboys and all, they'd laugh at these people. There's holy men walking around the stations, naked as a jaybird. And you look at them, you say, oh my goodness, they do weed. I'm staying away from that stuff. Anyway, maybe Americans aren't that clever. Having said that, there was a lot of things Dad didn't know. That day when he caught me, I was throwing carrots up at this guy, and there were terraces, so I just throw one every now and then. I wouldn't look what I was doing, just throw one over there. And finally, he started for the principal's office to turn me in. My dad had arrived. He was division secretary, which was not a good thing for me. And he listened to this man. He came down, and he took me to the boys' dean's office. Dean wasn't there, and he gave me on the seat of my pants, a real dose. The other boys, and remember, you know, when you're a young person like that, you're macho. The other boys, when they went to the shower and they saw me, they said, man, your dad is something else. A lot of things I hadn't told my dad. I visited the principal's office many times, and walking with him at the ranch, walking slowly, I summoned up my courage and I said, Dad, when I was in school, I let you down. I knew who you were. I knew you were a member of the school board and all this stuff, but often I act foolishly. I apologize. He was a half step ahead of me. I still remember he turned toward me and he said to me, he said, I have no regrets. Yeah. Wow. That blew me away. I still remember those words exactly. When I left a week later, we gathered in the living room, my mom, my sister, my brother, and I. Our wives, we prayed together. Tears came to our eyes. Dad ended up praying at the end. He was dry-eyed. He was ready to go home. Never forgot that. But there's always things that we've hidden away in our hearts, our intentions, our lust, our selfishness, some bad day that we had where we lost our temper and did something that we weren't proud of. Often it's expectations for the future. We want to have this or we want to do that and so forth. And to say no to ourselves is too much. Here's Jesus saying, look, I really don't want to do this, but if it's your will, I'll drink the cup. Amen. And what I'm saying to you today is, we have to learn that lesson. There's a lot of stuff in life that means that we're going to have to give up something. But we live in a society, and even the people back then lived in the society where it was the man, the woman with the most toys wins. We want this, we want that, we want the other. When I was younger, I also was addicted to that. I really was. Jesus is coming. What are you hanging on to? If there's a weakness in your character, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm standing here and saying to you, I'm just as human as you are. But having said that, if you recognize that and Jesus talks to you and says to you, look, you've got an issue. You're putting something else ahead of me. You keep checking your bank account every day, the stock market and all of these things. By the way, it's a bad thing to do nowadays. Yeah. Like it or not. And the numbers that the government gives us, 5-10%, you know, there's stuff that's 50% more than it used to be. Nobody's talking about it. In fact, it gave me a lot of amusement to know that Biden did that fist bump, you know, with the Saudi king, and then they cut back on their production. And Biden goes hat in hand and says, can you do me a favor? And Russia and Saudi and these countries, they say, don't talk to us. You insulted us. Right. And Biden was the one that shut our oil down the first day that he was in office. Right. Now they're running scared. I understand he raided the emergency supply of oil to try to drop the price of gas before the election. And I suppose many of the electorate's going to say, I was just waiting for this moment to tell you what I think of you. We have these expectations. We have, let me call it greed. We have issues in our hearts that we would not like to talk about very much. And being willing to say to God, God, I'm listening. I'll do what you want. My wife stocked up some glow before she left for Northern California to pick the pecans. Her way of distributing glow is to take 3-4 and she visits the gas pump and she lays a few out there so people can pick it up, and she's anonymous. Dan Cerns has a different way of distributing, and he has two, and he'll accost somebody and say, here's something that will brighten your life. Of course, the name is Glow, right? Here's something that will brighten your life. And he hands it over, and he's had many experiences. He'll tell them, you know, on the plane with an Indian lady, she thinks she's gonna miss her connection to be with her kids. He prays with her. They share numbers. She phones him half an hour later and said, I made the flight. Thank you for the prayer. I mean, just story after story. I love people. I'm happy about passing out glow, talking to them, witnessing. But it goes way beyond that. What about knowing that there are kids in the Adventist Academy and the parents don't have enough money to keep them there? What do we do about a family down the road that's broken? The mom's all by herself. Maybe they don't have enough to eat. Do we know that? Have we stopped and said a prayer? Have we asked, can I help you in some way? Can I assist you? My tree is loaded with apples. Could I share some of that? There's all kinds of ways for us to share love. All kinds of ways. Whatever it is, I want you to identify some of those things that you know that you have held back and that you wouldn't really want to talk about. Because when we touch those points, when we are convicted about those things, and when we're willing to speak openly with the individual that was affected, we're saying, look, I had an issue. Look, I'm selfish, but I want to change that because God is going to tell us to do those things. Amen. The Father told the Son, Son, it's going to be okay. You go ahead. You're covered. It's going to be awful. It'll be awful for you. It'll be awful for me. It'll be awful for the disciples. It'll be awful for the Jews in the end. But son, this is the only way. The universe is watching. Satan has accused us of selfishness. Satan says that we are mean, and that, like the farmer in Thailand, I remember he was talking to somebody and he says, who the world, if a kid walked in the orchard and stole a couple of fruit, durians, you heard about that, right? The stinky fruit. Smells like hell, but tastes like heaven. It's hard to believe, but it's good stuff. He said, what farmer would be so mean as to kill the child that stole a bit of fruit? What do you say to a man that says that? God is good. And having read this, I want to take you closer to the end here of what I'm saying, and that is that we have to look not only at the present and at the misery that we go through. I mean, I think of Huss and Jerome and Luther and these guys running for their lives, being burned up at the stake and all of this stuff. Christians, by the millions, have been killed through the years. Because of Golgotha, Jews, by the millions, have been killed through the years. Misery after misery, that's what Satan wants. But the way out is for us to begin saying yes to God, because now he's coming back, and there's no secrets when he comes back that we've got our hands behind our back and holding something secret from him. If he says, drink the cup, and I don't know what your cup is, drink the cup, then say yes to God. There's too many of us that have that secret spot in our hearts that we don't talk about. I never expected this as a kid. I never even thought about this as a kid. But my great-grandparents came to Fresno County from Indiana back east in the 1870s. My great-grandfather fought in the Civil War on the part of the North. He was badly wounded. I don't know whether he went home and healed or what happened, but he married. I don't know whether they took the railway across or what happened with that or whether they came on an ox cart, but they settled in Friant, which is the little riverside town that was the county seat for Fresno County. They were there a year, and then they moved up in the hills. Somebody told me the other day, said the wealthy people that came from the east, they got out and they bought the valley land, and they have grapes now. And by the way, grapes weren't a big deal back then, but they bought the good land. Friant was a county seat. As soon as the railway was built, there was a little station put there where Fresno is now, and it began to grow, and after a while, Friant was nothing. They used to bring stuff in on boats on the San Joaquin. or on ox carts. Anyway, they moved up in the hills, bought property at $1 an acre. There's 800 acres now on the ranch. We had a backhoe out this last week. My brother-in-law has one. And he's digging up. There's as many rocks as there is dirt. That's hard stuff we're putting in a septic line. Rocks, 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 rocks. Small, big, everything. Look like potatoes through this whole mess. But you know, people like living in the mountains now. I talked to my family about what do we do with this. What will this do for God's work right now? Can we train more young people like the school down there in Arizona? Can we buy more books? Can we donate to the academy? I'll tell you frankly, we've sold a property. We want that to go to God's work.
Amen. Wow.
My wife doesn't feel quite the same way about this. She's got her 4 acres. She's got the pecans, and glory be. We all have to search our hearts and decide what's good. But my prayer every day is, Lord, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. And the only way that I can feel good with Him is if I drink the cup He gives me. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They went through the same experience. Different ones were giving their property there in the early Christian church. We know Barnabas was one of the donors. We know Nicodemus. We know that Joseph of Arimathea, they became poor because they took their funds and put it in to support the church. What about now? Do I need that new pickup? My old one's got to go to the shop in a few days. They told me it would be $1,000, but then the lady said, you know, you never know what you get into when you get into the diesel injectors. It could be twice that much. Just kind of casual-like. And I'm biting my fingernails at home, listening to this news, and I say, you know what? I think I can run it leaking a little bit of diesel for another month. Brothers and sisters, Satan was there in God's presence with the other beings. And God said, test my servant Job. Go and do it. Job didn't know that he was on test. He was horribly tempted. All his family gone. All his wealth is gone. Everything is gone. And his wife saying, you know, it's better to curse God. I don't know why she used that word. Curse God and die. And he says to her, you talk like a foolish woman. And he's sitting there in the ashes, and his friends feel so much pity that it takes them a whole week before anybody says anything. Just quiet, amazed. This was the man we thought was tops. This is the man that God blessed. What happened? I read there in the Spirit of Prophecy this last week, Ellen White said, Satan was there tempting Job. Satan casts temptations all around us. He is always whispering ideas to us in our ears. He has access to us. And I'm shocked by this, you know. I'm saying, wow, my guardian angel is here. But some of those impulses, it's Satan whispering in my ear. Just picture that for yourself. Do you think Satan whispered in Jesus' ear? You want to believe it. He tempted him there for 40 days, 40 nights. And Jesus answered every time, and he said, Scripture says, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. And in this passage is Matthew, he says, if you can, take it away. But if you can't, I'll drink the cup. And that saved us. When we realize that we will drink the cup that God has given us, we can be safe. We don't have to doubt anymore. Because we've done what God has asked. I learned something. I was reading last night. Unfortunately, I wake up in the middle of the night, but do you know who it was that was chosen as the replacement for Judas? I didn't know either. I went to that because I was thinking about the holy city. And so I just checked on my phone, and it said, the holy city, the gates, above every gate, there's the name of an apostle. And Judas's name is not there, but he was the 12th one that dropped out. And this piece on the internet said that that 12th apostle who was selected by the Holy Spirit for the disciples at Pentecost, his name was Matthias. Now, Matthias is very special to me because that's my grandson's name. And it means given by God. Matthias. And my thought immediately went to my little grandson. We were there last week, you know. And oh, he's bouncing around. He's got this scar on his chest from the surgery. And he's got this little set of teeth. He does mischief with his mom sometimes with those teeth of his. You don't want to risk putting your finger in there because he'll chomp. And his dad is a very good soccer player. He's always rolled the ball back and forth, and Matthias, when he sees that soccer ball come out, we called it football in India. But Matthias is right there. And his dad now is holding a kind of a dowel above him. Matthias raises his hands and grabs this. He's just two. And Harold will pull that up about 4 inches off the sofa, and Matthias is just hanging there like he's a weightlifter, but he's holding his own weight up, 20, 22 pounds or something. Oh, we had fun. And I thought to myself, given by God, what a name. That was the name. And I realized that when Jesus came and the holy city came down, that the names would be, well, wait a minute, the names on the gates are the 12 apostles, the names on the foundations, the 12 precious foundations, they're the names of the apostles. Matthias. Peter. John, James, Thomas. All these names. Matthew. And then Matthias. I went beyond that and I said to myself, we are so unworthy. How can God memorialize these names? And I could go on. David, Adam, Abraham. Noah, all these names. And he saves them. He saves us. But when he whispers to you and says, my son, my daughter, drink the cup. We've got to listen. And we must trust. And we must obey. Amen. Nobody will know. It's all in your own heart. But we must trust and we must obey. And if you do that, you can be assured. You do it consistently. Satan's going to whisper to you. Satan's going to ask you to do other stuff. You can be assured that he has your name in the books and he loves you and he will take you home.
Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the assurance of salvation. Thank you that you will speak to us from time to time. And you will point out something that you need to have us do. Maybe witness, maybe changing a habit, maybe giving things away, maybe changing our way of life. But if in love you ask, and if in love, we obey. Thank you that you're going to hang those names up. I really don't think those apostles were that special because you want us to be in that holy list, that lineup of your faithful ones who heard you and obeyed you as we could. Thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.